The show is brought to you by Organifi. Organifi Green Juice promises to deliver all the healthy superfoods you need in just one drink. It's a green powder that promises to deliver endless energy, mental clarity, and fewer sugar cravings. As a loyal listener of this show, you'll receive 15% off your order. My personal favorite is their Sunrise to Sunset Bundle, as it includes three of the best sellers. Use my promo code WRESTLING15 to get 15% off your order today. That's Organifi. Shop.com. Organifi spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I. Organifi, O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I. So go to OrganifiShop.com and order yours today.
Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you
WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. As always, I'm your host, Glenn Thomas. With me is the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard? What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on?
Man, nothing much. A lot going on in the world of professional wrestling. Sad day for wrestling fans, as we found out early this morning, as we record this, that the Dynamite Kid passed away. Dynamite Kid, 60 years old, passed away. Cause of death at the time of recording this is unknown. You know, just give me some of your fondest memories of watching Dynamite Kid, and I'll tell you some of mine. I know I lived a little bit more in that era than you did when he's coming out, but your thoughts on the Dynamite Kid and his influence and impact on the wrestling world?
To me, he was ahead of his time in the sense of the style of wrestling he was doing, similar to Chris Benoit, where Chris Benoit was, you know, honed his craft from. I mean, Dynamite Kid was pretty special in the ring, and you know, injuries derailed him. He got cut a little short, and you know, he kind of was out of the limelight, you know, for a long time. So a lot of people really don't know or can really appreciate his work unless you really go back and watch it. And the guy was really, really good, and it's a loss for the professional wrestling world.
Yeah, you know, I remember watching Dynamite Kid in the early 80s with him and Davey Boy Smith, the British Bulldogs. Like, coming out even with Matilda, you know, that's one of my favorite tag teams growing up. Watching the British Bulldogs, they knew how to captivate the audience. The move that Dynamite Kid did was, you know, a move that you didn't see on a regular Saturday morning on WWE Superstars or WWE Challenge that you normally that you see. There wasn't the Lucha Libre-type style back then in the 80s. They had it, but you wouldn't see it on TV. And to see some of the high-flying, innovative moves that the Dynamite Kid did, I was great. As you mentioned, he influenced a lot of the wrestlers we like today. I mean, I think Dynamite Kid, for being the size that he was, helped a person like Daniel Bryan get into the WWE, or helped a person like Dean Malenko and Eddie Guerrero, and those guys are technically sound, smaller-type guys, get noticed and seen. Not saying those guys didn't do their own part but to get there, but I think Dynamite Kid had a big influence in a lot of their lives, especially Chris Benoit, who was compared to Dynamite Kid a lot throughout his career. You know, so I think Dynamite Kid, even in his passing, has left an impact on the world of professional wrestling that will last forever and ever and ever. You know, with that being said, this guy should have been in the Hall of Fame a long time ago. We talked about it a little bit earlier. WWE didn't put him in the Hall of Fame. And I'm sitting there looking, and as I heard the death of Dynamite Kid, and I had to go through my mind, there's been a lot of wrestlers in the WWE in the last couple of years who have passed away that have not been put in the WWE Hall of Fame. And I have to ask the question, we ask the question every year, what do they look for, and why is it taking so long to get some of the top stars, in our opinions, in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, it's some, you know what? And at first, I used to be kind of on that side where you are. It's like, oh, you got to get – but I understand it from the other side now. And I'm going to, you know, kind of be against you in this, in the sense of – I just think, honestly, it's just simple as they got to space it out, man. They got to have something every year, you know. Everybody can't go in all together, you know, this early, or we'd have no Hall of Fame, where essentially you have such a, according to the fans, a bottom feeding of talent going in, that it would play itself out after a while. I know some people are like, oh, Hall of Fame's already played. I get it. But, I mean, pretty much you got to space it out to where you have a nice, somewhat decent lineup every year. So everybody can't go in. You can't top heavy it every year, you know. And at first it was a thing of, oh, you know, oh, goodness, British Bulldogs aren't in. You know, Rick Rude isn't in, you know. Something like that. I know Rick Rude is in already for people listening, but that's yeah. The example I'm just saying. Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is that you got to understand that they gotta space this stuff out. If you had Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, Owen Hart, Bulldogs, all these people go in way earlier, like, you wouldn't have anything coming up. I mean, you think that most people are like, yeah, you would. You would have so-and-so, but not really, not to where you'd have one top-heavy main event guy, and he'd have a really, really, you know, terrible undercard of a Hall of Fame. So I can't get it now.
We don't want to repeat. We don't want to repeat a WrestleMania 26.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand that, you know, but you can do one or two guys. There's enough guys who wrestled in the 80s, early 90s who we consider. I mean, because we're not on the WWE staff. We don't know the criteria neither, you know, right, to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. So it's not like the criteria is put out there. You can find it online. You know, I just look at some of the guys that, you know, that this year, let alone that's passed away, that should have been in. Vader, one guy. You know, you look at Dynamite.
Now that
Dynamite
one, I'll
kid.
Give you. That one, he probably should have been in already. Absolutely.
You know, Dynamite Kid, who should have been in. You know, that. At this point, and we'll get to that in a minute, but I'm going to say why, so you can think about it. Does the Dynamite Kid deserve to go in by himself, or does he deserve to go in as a British
Bulldog? Oh, no, he'll never go in by himself. Please, I don't even know why you even asked him that. He's not going to go in by himself. The only way he'd go in by himself is if they induct Davey Boy by himself. Which we were talking in the group chat, said Dynamite Kid will end up being one of those guys that goes in that postmortem or legends, whatever they call it,
yes.
Legacy, I think they call it.
Legacy, they call it
legacy.
Legacy
Wing. Is that what it's called? I think it's the Legacy Wing.
Yeah, it's called Legacy
anyway,
Wing.
That's where he'll go if they induct him. I don't think they really have anybody to induct him. For real.
Brett, D.H. Smith. I mean, I'm just throwing names.
Yeah,
up.
But are you Perry, really going to... You know what? It's weird. And this is not saying that Dynamite doesn't deserve an on-stage individual induction. But honestly, I'll just call a spade a spade. They'd purely be doing that for the appearance of whoever the inductor is. So if it was a Bret Hart, they'd be doing that. Excuse me, they'd be doing that just to have Bret Hart on camera. Honestly.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys, and I think I'm probably a lot of people go against me on this. Davey Boy Smith, in my opinion, doesn't go in by himself. Should go in by himself.
Oh, you said he shouldn't.
He shouldn't. I think
okay,
he should go in
why?
As a person. And I say this, I think his career after the British Bulldog was the best thing he did after the British Bulldogs, in my opinion, was the Calgary angle with Bret Hartnell. He was a relevant star. He was a good hand, a good worker. But was he a Hall of Famer without the British Bulldogs? And I looked at it, he had the IC title, yes. But what the European title, yes. But what else, his numbers, I'm looking at numbers and stats. Don't jump off the board to me. As a Hall of Famer, besides being with the British Bulldogs, just don't. Just good work.
I'm gonna say the exact opposite. I think his career is Hall of Fame merited on everything he did after the Bulldogs. I mean, the Bulldogs had at best a 2.5 year stint of relevancy in WWF at that time.
Yeah, probably then came 2.5 years. They came in 1986.
Did they come in 86? I thought it was, yeah, exactly. So they realistically, they only had about a 2 year run at the top as a top tag team. Davey Boy Smith went on to have a singles career from 91, you know, all the way through to, you know, about through to 92, because he got suspended, I think, after that. Came back in 94, had a 3 year run in 94 to 97, had a 3 year run, and then came back again in 99. I could see where you're saying his career as a tag team, but the overall body of work of what people are remembering David Boy Smith is for his singles career, it's as weird as that sounds. I mean, honestly, if you're thinking tag team, most people, and don't hear me wrong about this, most people are going to point to him and Owen as a tag team before they're pointing to him and Dynamite Kid. And that's not a bad thing. It's just, that's just the way these fans work these days.
Yeah,
nobody's really there. There were so many other tag teams, you know, at that time in the 80s, where you had the Bulldogs have their run from 86 through 87, and then that was really it. I mean, they were pedestrian throughout, like, 88. So,
yeah, 88 was their last year at the Bulldogs in WWE.
Yeah.
You know, and that was their last run. 4 year span from 84 to 88, winning the title at WrestleMania 2.
Right.
You know, that was one of their biggest runs. I mean, we know that there was a lot of things that was involved with the end of their career, the drug abuse and different things of that nature that was involved. But, you know, I think Davey Boy did some good things after the British Bulldogs. And maybe just because it's my era, I remember the British Bulldogs more so than Davey Boy Smith, the British Bulldog. You know, I remember the Bret Hart and him fighting at Wembley Stadium. Just saying that Dynamite, to me, should be a Hall of Fame. I think they should go in. I agree with your point that you made earlier. If they go in, they'd go in. He'll go in as a British Bulldog. But would that be doing Davey Boy Smith a disservice?
Yeah, you know, as you say that, sadly, and it's going to sound really bad, it does a disservice to Davey Boy Smith. It does, because Dynamite Kid had such a short stint in WWF, and especially riddled with the injuries, and I don't know if he was on the best of terms with WWF, like, ever, really, after that. So, if anything, they're really going to put in Davey Boy by himself. Like you said, Intercontinental Champion, European Champion, the first European Champion. You know, the Wembley Stadium match with Bret Hart. I mean, the Hart Foundation run that he had with, you know, with Bret and Owen and Anvil and Pillman. Like, you know, his, like I said, his singles career from 94 to 97, I mean, he was a pretty, you know, sustainable mid-card guy. You know, he had a pretty prominent role. He was very much so featured. Had a couple of main event runs with Bret and with Shawn. I mean,
he had a couple times.
Yeah. I mean, he had a couple of main event programs. So I mean, for him to reach those levels and have those feuds, I think him going in by himself as a singles is going to be more, you know, more effective than him going in as the British Bulldogs.
Right. I just look at it as being, you know, it's a toss-up. When you talk about tag teams, and even we go to tag teams, we still talk about Dynamite Kid, and in the past of Dynamite Kid, and we go to tag teams, and you look at tag teams or not in the Midnight Express. I think they go in before the British Bulldogs. You look at Demolition, they go in before the British Bulldogs.
I don't think there's a criteria for that. I think you know, we've always liked to, you know, have an for argument's sake, to have a discussion. We think of criteria or who should go in before who. I don't think that even matters. I just think it's availability, relevance, and then, and that's probably what it is, availability, relevance, and then you know, accolades or whatnot.
Because when you speak of availability and audience, you know, this year being in New York, or which is fresh on everybody's mind, you know, one of those guys, as I mentioned, Vader, Davey Boy Smith, or even China, could be. We say it as wrestling fans that WWE, quote unquote, has the criteria. You put a legend who's probably passed away. You put one African American person, male or female. Or you do a female, or like the year with Miss Jackie, I believe you killed two birds. Though, can't say you killed two birds with mm-hmm. stone, because Godfather went in as well. But which, you know, sometimes they do two birds, one stone. So you get the current superstar, or the most recent superstar, the 80s star. You get the older mid 70s, 60s type wrestler. You get the
minority,
and then you may get a tag team. You know, but I'm just looking at the list, as you mentioned when we started this conversation, that list is really dwindling down.
Mm-hmm.
If until wrestlers start of this generation, this era, start retiring.
Oh yeah, we're pretty much now in the sense of, you know, as we've talked about it before, a lot of your 80s guys and greats start going in now. You still got some 70s, some 60s, you know, of the earlier eras that's going to go in. But pretty much now, a lot of your, you know, mid-tier 80s guys, they're going to start going in. So, I mean, at this point, that's what you're gonna have. So, I mean, this, like I said, I don't think there's really a criteria.
Yeah, I don't think so neither. But, you know, once again, I had to take your hats go off, and our prayers and thoughts go to Dynamite Kid's family. You know, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's stay on the WrestleMania thing, but let's shift gears. You mm-hmm. know, looking at Becky Lynch this year, and the year of Becky Lynch, at Becky Lynch, as I want to call it, is this the year, and going into 2019, and how hot Becky is, and how in the last couple of weeks Raw has been down. It bounced back a little bit this week. SmackDown's been a little bit down, bounced back this week. How women wrestling, with the emergence of Becky Lynch, with the merger of Ronda Rousey, has really over the world of professional wrestling in the WWE. I think women wrestling right now in the WWE is hotter than the men's brand, men's of their counterparts. And I think this may be the year that we may get a female headliner at WrestleMania. Or not headliner, but that could close the house down at WrestleMania. Due to all the injuries and all the other things that's going on, this might be the year that the women close the house at WrestleMania. Your thoughts on that?
No, but we've talked about this before. I think it's definitely the year they're going to do it. If there's any time to capitalize on the heat that the women have, it's now. I mean, especially with Ronda Rousey being there, before she cools off and just is simply known as a wrestler, to capitalize on that market that she still has with the MMA and everything, I think they need to go ahead and capitalize and let her main event WrestleMania now. I mean, at this point, I mean, go ahead and let her close out the show. You know, this is, and also with them capitalizing on heat, with the boom and, you know, positive energy that the women's division has now, this would be the time for them to introduce women's tag titles. I don't think it should be brand specific. I think it should be one women's tag title for one, you know, just for the division, because I don't think the division is large enough that you can have two sets of titles on two different shows. But, I don't work for them, you never know, but I think there should be one set of titles for one, you know, brand. And I mean, for not one brand, for both brands. And this, these are just things before the women's revolution hype cools down. They need to take advantage of it. Maybe it'll keep it going.
I think so. I think they may keep it. I'm watching, when you watch Monday Night Raw and you watch SmackDown, you see more women wrestling segments now on the show. And I don't say that in light of some of the men, but some of the stuff have their storylines a little bit. If you look at it, their storylines are much better. Their storylines are much more intriguing. They are putting on, they get it when it comes to, as Champ Creed would like this, you know, they get it when it comes to social media. They take their stuff outside of the wrestling ring and they put it on a different platform, which is social media. They may not get the vignettes that they do out. They used to be done in the Attitude Era out in the grocery stores and the supermarkets or the bridges. But these young ladies have got it to the point where they know how to take their feud and take it to the masses, whether on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, more so Instagram and Twitter, which brings more eyes to the product, will bring more eyes to Ronda Rousey taking on a Nia Jax match, takes more realism to who Nia Jax is, as she call herself, the face breaker. It adds that twist to it. Or you have, when you have a Becky Lynch talking to a Conor McGregor, and they're going back and forth on social media, and Becky Lynch calling herself the man and explaining why she is, even when she's out off of, even when she's not on television, it makes it a man. I think women wrestling right now in the WWE is just going to another level, and they're doing it without one in-ring performer, which is Alexa Bliss. But I think this will be the year that the women wrestling will take shape at WrestleMania. I don't want to call it a revolution. I don't want to call it a movement, because I think this will continue to go on for a long time as all the young women they are inspiring, and some of the top stars that we have down, the WWE has down in NXT. I think the evolution of women wrestling will continue to evolve in 2019.
I can agree with that. Absolutely.
You know, while we're talking about women wrestling and evolution of women wrestling, give me your thoughts and opinions on Alexa Bliss. There's a lot of controversy out there of wrestlers saying she's cleared, not cleared. What are your thoughts? I got a take on this, but I want to hear your thoughts on Alexa Bliss. And do WWE need her to wrestle right now?
I don't think they necessarily need her to wrestle right now. She's always a good hand to have, though. I think they're being careful. I think she is probably cleared, to be honest. But they're probably just being careful and not just throwing her back in there for the sake of her being cleared. I think they may have something going with her being an authority figure for the women's division overall. So I think they should ride with it, see what they get out of it. I mean, they always use her being able to get back in the ring and being cleared as the crutch, I guess you could say, for her to fall back on if they want her to go back in the ring. But if not, then, you know, see what you get out of this. And if it doesn't work, they can go back and have a wrestle. It's not even that serious, I think.
Yeah, I think it adds intrigue to Money That Raw. Things, her being out there with her mic skills, adds a little bit more oomph to her character development, helps Baron Corbin out tremendously for the fact that she deals with the women wrestlers. I think this is a good role for Alexa Bliss, and we wish her well. And once again, she might already be cleared, and WWE just don't have a place to put her right now because it's focused on Ronda. It's focused on
Ronda. Don't force her in there.
When I see guys talking, she need to be back in the ring. Why? Where were you going to plug her at? You're not going to plug her in the middle of Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax. It made sense.
Right.
It made sense at Money in the Bank because she had the briefcase.
Right.
Right now it doesn't make any sense. You're not going to put her in the mix with Ruby Riott and Natalya. Doesn't make sense.
Right.
You know, even with Sasha and Bayley, I know they're working with her a little bit, but put the play on the tag team division. You're not going to plug her in right there. She's in the best role that she could be in right now within the company, in my opinion. I think that's the better role that she should be in there until WWE clears that she's 100%, or we on that road to what we like to call after the TLC pay-per-view and when the New Year strikes, the road to WrestleMania.
Right.
Bring your big guns out on the road to WrestleMania, not beforehand. I think you continue to keep Alexa Bliss on TV each and every week, and then let her continue to do what she do, which is to flourish and to help the other women out there and make them that much better, you know. And I think that's a key for her. That is definitely a key for her. Let's move on to Ronda Rousey real quick. And I had to watch Monday Night Raw, and I thought to myself, Ronda Rousey, former UFC champion, former Strikeforce champion, you know, newcomer to the WWE, hasn't been there a year, and she's closing down Monday Night Raw with Ember Moon. And she's the women's champion, and she doesn't mind being on TV each and every week. She's setting herself up to be a great wrestler. And I asked you this, you know, you've been a wizard. How much more would it take for Ronda Rousey to be a WWE Hall of Famer?
Well, it depends on how hard they push her, to be honest. If she goes into WrestleMania and defends or recaptures the title, especially in the main event, I think at this point, only thing that, you know, that's fighting her being in a Hall of Famer is longevity. If she does 2 to 3 years in WWE at a, you know, somewhat of a similar top level to where she's at right now, she's a Hall of Famer. So if that's what you're asking, probably 3 years.
And I say that because, you know, we missed a week, and, you know, and you know, we saw, you know, on Instagram, following Twitter, she was crying because of the GOAT. She wants to start a family. But right now, she is the hot. Her and Becky Lynch are the hottest two things in the world of professional wrestling right now. And I did not. I don't want to insult and say it just on the women's side, but even on some of the men's stuff, they're the hottest too. But Ronda wants to start a family, and if she starts a family, you know, she may have to get the title up, whatever case may be. Has she done enough to end? And you know, it's no criteria, but we talk about the Hall of Fame all day, so let's keep it going. The criteria for her that she's done enough that she could be a WWE Hall of Famer. As a wrestler, don't want to get the entertainment wing. As a wrestler, has she done enough for the women's division in this short span of time, which is less than a year? If she quits at WrestleMania, which we don't think she will, think she gets another year, is she that person?
I think so. If she gets too high profile. Well, not two. She already will pretty much, if you count this year, she'll already have two high-profile WrestleMania matches, her debut. And then whatever she does this year, she gets one more in. I think, actually, yeah, she gets one more good WrestleMania in after this year. Then, yeah, I think she does. I think she gets in.
That's just, hey, what we call you a wizard. I think she gets in too. I think she's done enough to get where she needs to get to get there. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I wanted to hit this one up, and I think this is one that a lot of fans were talking about. With Dolph Ziggler now, it's two things. Dolph Ziggler now being a face, Drew McIntyre being the heel, which this face heel to this turn was kind of subtle, which I think was done well. Can Dolph Ziggler survive on his own again?
Absolutely.
Within a month or two, will we forget about Dolph Ziggler?
No. They made him relevant again with this run with Drew McIntyre. So no. I think he'll be just fine. They gotta have something lined up for him though. That's what I think. The main thing is they got to have something lined up for him after Drew, because you know Drew's going over. So
right.
If you know Drew's going over, you got to have something for him next. whether it's Dean, they could go Dean again. They could go, I don't, because they turned Dean heel. I mean, you could go Dolph and Bobby Lashley. You could go, I mean, there's a couple of avenues, you know, but ultimately, as long as they have something lined up for him, he should be okay. And I know that's stating the obvious, but the only way he kind of falls back into purgatory is if, you know, they just kind of like, okay, Dolph, you're kind of just a hand, you know. But with this face run, he may end up going back to SmackDown, to be honest. They may bring somebody over to Raw. I mean, there's still that option. This stuff can be shaken up. None of this stuff is ever permanent.
It definitely can be shaken up, and that's the thing. Zoe can be shaken up, it can be moved. Just that Dolph Ziggler became relevant again, and we know most times when a tag team split up or a faction breaks up, somebody gets the short end of the stick. We know in this case Drew McIntyre is not going to get the short end of the stick, so that leaves Dolph Ziggler. And, you know, think about it, in the last 6 months since he's been tagged up or connected to Drew McIntyre, that his career has actually skyrocketed. You know, so it has skyrocketed. I just don't want, as being a Dolph Ziggler fan, the show off to get lost and become one of those mid-card guys like Finn Balor was here until recently. Because let's be honest, Finn Balor was that guy. Finn Balor was, he was on Monday Night Raw every week, but he was lost.
I really want more from Finn, but that's another time. I really want more from Finn, but.
Now he's in a feud with, we saw him in a feud with just the name is skipping me right now. Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
He in a feud now with Drew McIntyre. You know, so you have that there to make these two guys relevant. We know Drew McIntyre is going over on. We know McIntyre is going to end up going over on Finn Balor. But well, then if he does do that, where does that leave Dolph Ziggler? WWE has three, and this is my issue with Monday Night Raw. Not saying that it's a bad issue. You have 3 hours worth of timing. All these different spots of programming. And you have storylines to fit in. Find writers who can get them in with every talent and make all your people or your fans invest.
Yeah, I agree.
And make them invest. Make them invest. That's it. Last point here, before we close the one out tonight, wanted to talk about the Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins. Are you feeling it? Are you feeling it? It's been going on for a while, and to me, it seems, as a wrestling fan, it feels like a dud.
You know, I think, unfortunately, with Roman going out the way he did, it kind of killed the momentum of where that storyline was ultimately going to go. It was almost like, obviously, Dean had a reason, you know, kayfabe-wise, he had a reason for doing it, but it was almost like he had no reason for doing it. It was like, okay, like, I get it, and he just gives him a few, but Seth was running so white hot as, you know, the workhorse of the company. It's almost like it's a step down, and I don't mean that in a bad way for Dean. It's almost like, it's almost like Dean needed to be back a little more, unless they were going to pull the trigger right when Dean came back to make him heal and do it then. But if not, maybe it should have had a little bit more time to mature. It just felt a little bit hot-shotted because
of Roman's situation.
Went out. Yeah,
right.
It just felt like it got rushed.
It got rushed, and now it becomes, you had to change the mindset of Roman telling everyone he has leukemia to, oh, this is the night Dean Ambrose turned. It made perfect sense. But it doesn't have a impact there. I think you need that vignette. You need that that thing inside the ring, outside the ring, to get people to buy back into it. You're a hardcore fan to buy back in it. And I think no one's bought into this feud right now. Even if Dean Ambrose wins the title, that would at least Seth Rollins. You know, there's no universal pitcher, no universal champion out there. I just think the storyline has become
now. I will beg to differ. I think, honestly, I think Seth Rollins is your next guy as far as probably winning the Royal Rumble and going to WrestleMania to fight Brock Lesnar. I think it's Seth Rollins. I think Seth Rollins is where you go next for Brock Lesnar as far as the big profile main event. And I think that comes from WrestleMania. I think Seth Rollins is your guy. I think that's who you have to strap your rocket to. He's your most reliable hand, main event-wise, that you have right now. I would say Finn Balor, too, but it just seems like they've done so much of nothing with him. It's like the obvious choice is Seth right now.
Yeah, you like Seth, and you want that. Just WWE gives me a little bit more oomph in the storyline. Last Monday Night was good with the gas mask and all that. I can hear the sounds beeping again, but they need to continue to do this with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose to continue to make the hardcore wrestling fan more involved with their feud.
I think they'll be all right. I think they have to end the feud, though. I mean, that sounds really obvious, but I mean that in the sense of time. I think this has to end. Like, I think it's already ran its course, and not because necessarily it's a bad thing, but I just think that it can't last past January. I think they have to have their, because after TLC, they'll have one more match. I really think so. But it can't drag on past, like, I'd say, like, the first Raw of the new year or something. It has to end then.
Yeah, I think so. I guess
it's the very latest, the War Rumble.
If it goes that far, I think TLC will be the end of the Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose feud, and I think they will go on. They'll go on their separate ways to,
right?
And maybe pass Kraus down the line again, but they go their separate ways. There. Hey, Wizard Man, anything else you want to hit on before we get up out of here?
No. But this was very good tonight, and I think we look forward to next week.
Hey, definitely look forward to next week. As always, Wizard, take us home.
If you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
I end the story, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.